In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Fabian really likes these chants like that. He just keeps humming them over here while we're going through. So if I seem a little bit distracted, it's because my buddy over here is singing. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So this week we spent a lot of time in Albuquerque at Father Nick's parish. You remember Father Nick? He used to be our pastor here when Fabian was just a little guy, when he was just a little guy like Ozzy over there. So I'm spending the time at his parish. He remembered you all. He wanted me to wish you all well. He wished that he could come see you, but not enough to actually switch places like me, like I offered a few weeks ago, so that he'd come here and I'd go there so that he could come back. But just so you know that he really does love you and miss you, that when you go there to his rectory, there on his refrigerator, though he's been gone for quite some time, there are only two pictures that are there. No pictures of grandkids, he's a priest, so no pictures of nieces and nephews and things like that. There's just two really big pictures of your sanctuary here, of your church. And so he really, really does love you. You may not know this, but when he was moved from here to this present parish there at St. Anne's in Albuquerque, he turned to Lucy, your mom, and said, "Did I do something wrong? Did I get in trouble? Why are they taking me here from Santa Rosa?" And so he very much does love you. And so know that you're loved this day. We have one further announcement to remind you of this week, and that is, just like I spoke to you last week after the Mass, that having received the Holy Spirit, like we spoke about on Pentecost, I challenged you to actually do something about it and to see that because Sister Anne is retiring, who has spent the vast majority of her life and longer than I have been around, teaching here within our parish, preparing the young men and women for their First Communion classes and through our catechism classes for our young men and women, as she's retiring now, though she's still going to remain here within our community, that leaves a hole that needs to be filled by somebody. And so I asked you to pray about it last week to see if, to answer that call, so you can hear our Lord moving you to take that position. And so now's the week to give me a call so that we can have that position filled. You won't have to worry about doing it all on your own because Sister Anne isn't going anyplace and she'll be here to troubleshoot as much as her strength gives her able to do so. You can't keep a sweet woman like that who loves so greatly from being involved in things. And she'll help you every step of the way. But give me a call that week so that we can begin our preparations for what we're leading our children forward to in the faith here beginning in the fall when school returns. And lastly, something very sad. If you subscribe to the flock, no, you already know, I sent it out as soon as I discovered it. But last afternoon, our Archbishop Emeritus, Michael Jarbo Sheehan, passed away. He went on to his reward. At 83 years old, he had spent 40 years of his life as a bishop, just 14 days shy of 30 years as our working here within our diocese. And now he has gone on. He's free from all bodily torment in this life. But he's in purgatory now, and so he depends upon our prayers, yours and mine. So keep him in prayer. I'll let you know as soon as we find out when his funeral will be, hopefully within the next week. On this last day, the octave day of Pentecost, let's pray one final time our novena to the Holy Spirit prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give the sermon in such a way that I think even you, Violet, will be able to get everything that I'm speaking about today. I'm going to talk about a prayer that we should all pray. So put attention. See what our Lord has for us. We just ended the Easter season last week, and so here we're living in this ordinal time, but at the end of Paschal season, we have three solemnities that mark our way forward as we celebrate our Lord. And do you know what those three solemnities are that come at the end of Easter? You don't got Elijah either. No. Fabian was here at the last Mass, so he knows, but he didn't know at last Mass. What's today? There you go. So that's one. That's a solemnity. The solemnity of the Holy Trinity. Then what do we do next? It comes up on this Thursday. Okay, we'll also do it on Sunday. Maybe that helps. The Feast of the Body and Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, Corpus Christi. And then what happens after that the following Friday? Sister Anne would be very sad not to hear you say it. The Sacred Heart. The Sacred Heart. The Feast of the Sacred Heart is what we have at this time. And last year on the Sacred Heart, we had the greatest gift probably that our nation has ever received last year on the Sacred Heart when the Supreme Court handed down that Dobbs decision, which said that no longer would Roe v. Wade be the law of the land and those subsequent evil decisions, but that no longer would this be a sin a part of the whole United States, but rather each state could choose life. Each one of these feasts that we have here highlights a part of our Christian faith. That is that faith that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. And what they do is they walk us through various aspects of who he is. We celebrate today the reality of the triune God, meaning that we serve one God who is expressed in those three distinct persons of the Holy Trinity. It means this. It means that our God lives together in a community of persons. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are all equally ones who share the one single divine nature. They're all equally God, one from another. They live out in distinct roles, sharing themselves with one another, grounded in their love for one another. On Thursday and next Sunday, we'll also enter into the feast of Corpus Christi, which does what for us? It reveals that our Lord Jesus is the sacrament of the Eucharist. He who wishes to make himself so humble for us that he really becomes for you and I our very bread that we may eat, to make it through the difficulties of this life in journeying toward the Lord, but also, and most importantly, so that we can have enough strength to persevere all the way unto heaven. Remember what our Lord says in John chapter 6. He says that he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has my life within him. But then he says it in a negative way. If you do not eat my flesh, and if you do not actually drink my blood, then you do not have my life within you. It's a requirement, as our Lord speaks there, to enter into heaven to actually receive the Eucharist. Those who choose not to receive Eucharist, choose not to be Catholic, miss out upon that grace. And lastly, the third solemnity that we'll celebrate next Friday is that of the Sacred Heart, which reveals something powerful about our relationship to Jesus Christ, and that is that he has a divine and human center of his being in his person. That our Lord, as we have the image just here behind me, he has a heart which is full of love for us, that he expresses, that he wishes to reveal, take out of himself, and expose for you and I, a heart which is wounded so often by our ingratitude. That's what our sins are. Wounding his Sacred Heart. But even despite all those things, he has a heart full of mercy to everyone who seeks it. All you got to do is seek that mercy from his heart. And he reveals it to you and I most strongly when we enter into that confessional box and receive his grace. Each of these, all of these three mysteries of the Most Holy Trinity, that mystery of the Corpus Christi, the body of our Lord, that feast of the Sacred Heart, all of these are aspects of the one mystery of salvation. In a certain sense, what they do for us is they sum up the mystery of all of our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. All the way from his incarnation through his death, through his resurrection, and finally unto his ascension and his pouring out of his Spirit upon us, that we might make it to heaven. In order to understand this mystery all the greater of the Holy Trinity, I want to give you a small but powerful prayer. Even your young Ozzy could be able to understand it. It's a prayer which each of us should know well. I want to teach you it. This is the powerful prayer of the Glory Be. It's merely this. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You know that prayer? It's a simple prayer. It's an easy prayer. It's a prayer which is always upon the lips of those who trust in God. We, as Catholics, every time we read any one of the 150 Psalms that exist within sacred scripture, as Catholics, not the Jews before us, but as Catholics, what we do is we pray the Glory Be. Whether it's a prayer, a beautiful psalm that is exulting in how great God is and how he's taking care of us, or whether it's one of those more common psalms that talk about, woe is us. We feel destroyed, beaten down in so many ways. Even in the midst of being beaten down, we turn to God and we say, glory be, because we trust that God is going to get us through this. That's the way of a Catholic. We as Catholics go forward in this way. But what do we do when we pray this prayer, the glory be? The Catechism teaches you and I that the glory of God consists in making real, that means to make touchable, palpable in this way, the presence and the communication of God's goodness. And so when we pray the glory be, what we're doing is we're praising our experience of God's goodness, even when it doesn't feel as good as we would like it to in the moment. There's a papal preacher by the name of Rinerio Cantalamessa. He's the one who preaches to the Holy Father. He did it so for John Paul II, also for Pope Benedict, and now for Francis. He speaks about God's glory being simply loving his people gratuitously, which is to say, without measure, without holding anything back from who he is. He says this, quote, the basic sin is the refusal to glorify God. That's it. He continues on to say, by refusing to glorify God, the human being becomes deprived of God's glory. If you don't praise God for his glory, then what you have is forfeited. And so it's taken away. And that's why it says there within the gospel today that those who refuse to praise God are already condemned because they refuse to recognize his goodness. And so what should happen within our lives is that we should pray the glory be with devotion, and we should pray it often within our lives so that we might maintain that praising and glorifying of God. Now, break down the prayer very simply. We praise three people within this, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the one God. So what does it mean little by little? We turn first and we pray glory be to the Father. When we pray glory be to the Father, what we're praying is we're glorifying God for his love, for loving us into existence. We glorify the Father by acknowledging that the Father knows everything about our worst days. He knows it all about us. But he uses this knowledge not to condemn us or to beat us down. He uses this knowledge of our worst days to be more loving to us. Our misery, as Pope Paul VI says, draws out all the more God's misericordia, which is to say his mercy, his merciful heart. He uses it in that way. His love response to our miserable sinfulness will draw us to love him more and more as his children. When we pray the glory be to the Father, we're saying glorify the Father is to praise the Father's refusal to give up on us, even though oftentimes we give up on him or we feel that he gives up on us. To glorify the Father is to proclaim that we're loved simply because we belong to him. And that's what baptism reminds us, that that child is the object of God's immense love, even though it can do nothing to glorify God, just because it belongs to God. Each of you belonging to God are simply loved by him because of that very fact. In fact, Father Francis Martin wrote this famously saying, quote, "Glory is to love that expresses when Jesus gives himself in total obedience to the Father's will. So when you and I pray, glory be to the Father, we are asking for the grace to give ourselves like Jesus to the Father in total obedience to his will." Now what about that second part? We pray in the second instance, glory be to the Son. What are we saying through that part? Well, the Byzantine liturgy has this. It says this in a beautiful hymn that I won't sing, but I'll give you the translation in English. It says, "Glory be to the active presence of your divine providence in our lives, O Christ our King. Through it, you have worked out the salvation of all." The Bishop Massimo Kamikasa says this, "We glorify God by allowing ourselves to be drawn into the act that was accomplished by our Lord for us upon the cross." And St. Ambrose says it even more beautifully, more practically. He says, "I will not glory because I have been redeemed by Christ. I will not glory because I am free of sins, but because sins have been forgiven in me. I will not glory because I am profitable or because anyone is profitable to me, but I will glory because Christ is an advocate on my behalf before the Father, because the blood of Christ has been poured out for me on my behalf." That's the thing that you and I should glory Christ for, the Son. We glorify the Son because of his friendship for us. We glorify the Son's never-failing real presence to us that he gives himself to us in the Eucharist, like we'll celebrate on Corpus Christi next week. Now, what about the third part? We say, glory be to the Holy Spirit. We glorify the Holy Spirit when we're saying that we're begging the Holy Spirit to come to enter into our hearts, to take possession of the whole of our beings. And we know how difficult it is within our lives for us to remain conscious of spiritual things. It's easy for us to focus on fleshly realities, worldly things, materialistic things that go on within our lives. It's tough for us to be conscious of the spiritual that's around us because we can't always see it, taste it, touch it. Oftentimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that we're self-absorbed, even while we take care of others. This is what happens when we begin taking care of other people within our lives, when we attend to somebody who's sick or somebody who's ill or somebody who's not doing well. When we begin to complain about the fact that they're not appreciative of who we are, we're actually doing things in a self-absorbed way. That's where that complaint comes from, saying, "I should be getting something out of this." Whereas what Christ teaches us is that we give without hoping for return. And so that complaint comes from our pride, self-absorption. What glorifies God is going to him recognizing that we lack ability. What glorifies God is we go before him recognizing our own unworthiness, recognizing our powerfulness, recognizing that we are sinful. And when we give ourselves to God in moments of honesty, in moments of vulnerability, that is when we glorify God the most. God is glorified by our very recognition that we are dependent upon him and him alone for everything. God is glorified when we give up our delusion about our own goodness. We glorify God through our realization of our dependence upon God for absolutely everything and within our life. And that's why this prayer is so powerful, because it's begging for a continual transformation that the Holy Spirit entering into us will make us complete. As a conclusion for this prayer, let's pray that glory be. Drive it into our souls. Pray it three times for the Father, three times for the Son, three times for the Holy Spirit as a meditation to go deeper and deeper into these realities. I'll count them out for you so that we can do all 10 of them in that way. And the last time, we'll pray that one in recognition of God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God triune, who wishes to do all these things for us. Let's pray the first to the Father, recognizing our dependence upon him even for our own existence. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Now to the Son, recognizing our total dependence upon his love for us that he pours generously to us in our state from the cross, we pray, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And this third set of three, focusing upon the Holy Spirit, our total dependence upon His transformation in our lives so that we can be holy, more like God, maybe even looking up at the dove in the ceiling. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And this last time, turning to the most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, asking our Lord to be real for us and give us all these graces as we pray, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May you always wonder in glory. May it captivate you continually in this triune God we serve. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.